Hello, everyone. It's a blessing to be here again. Every year, excuse me, when the Lord allows us to come, it's such a blessing. I just want to start by saying thank you, the Calvary Philly family. We are loved by you. We are blessed by you. It's just incredible to be able to be here every year. It's such a blessing. And I want to say that, you know, early this morning the Lord started to use you guys. You know, between the greetings and prayers and getting to see old good friends and good old friends, both, being able to get your hugs, I felt very blessed again this morning. And my faith is built up by this whole experience today, the fact that the Lord is allowing us also to be here with some of our brothers and sisters from Calvary Antigua. You know, usually it's only a couple of us that get to come, and this year the Lord opened the door for like six of us actually from Calvary Antigua being here. So it's a blessing to be able to share that with them also. So I just want to thank God for that. And if you want to just, you know, stop by the tables out there, it'd be awesome to also greet you. There's a couple of ministries, of course, our Bible Institute, you know, that is part of our church, and also a ministry called Ahava that is also working there in Guatemala, is here with us, and we work together with them as a church also, and it's a great blessing. So it'd be awesome if you can stop by and say hi to the guys out there. So the only downside of today is that my wife is not here with me. And she asked me to tell you guys that we are so loved by you. So that's her message to you guys. So I would like to ask you to open up with me to go to Mark 4, 35 to 41. Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. That's what we're going to try to cover today. And let's see. A lot of people from our church in Guatemala are praying for this moment, and they are not only praying for me, they are mainly praying for you guys, that you can understand my English. So that's kind of like the main prayer this day there in Guatemala. So let's pray the Lord, you know, again, you know, surprises us with His grace, and that we can get to understand each other, and that you are also edified by the Word of God as we are sharing here together. So let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful time, this privilege that we get to be together as a family. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful fellowship. And we understand also that truly our fellowship is with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are so blessed by opening the Word of God and listening to what you have prepared for our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful time. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, this text that we're going to be looking at today talks about a day in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it talks about the end of one day of ministry in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even though we are not walking in Galilee like they were back then in the first century, we can say also that what we see here, it can easily depict one day in our lives walking with the Lord, in our lives doing ministry with the Lord Jesus. I loved, you know, what my brothers were saying. I think it was Daniel that was saying that we're doing with him, you know, the ministry, doing it with him. So I think this text talks about something like that, the end of a day doing ministry with him. As a disciple of the Lord, we need to understand that we are doing his ministry, and he is the one that is leading us in what we're doing, right? And so sometimes we forget about that. We think that it's what we do for Him, but we are actually just joining what He has been always doing. He is the one leading the way. He is the one that, you know, calls all the shots. And every once in a while, we're going to get one of these days. So that's actually the title of the message, is one of those days, actually, is the way I pictured that in my head. I want to remind you that everything that I'm saying, I wrote it in Spanish, so it's mainly in my heart, it's in Spanish, and I'm trying to convey it into English right now, so that's why sometimes I might stop and think, like, am I, you know, sure about what I'm going to say? But as I was saying, these texts also can depict a day in one of our lives, walking with the Lord Jesus. And it's going to show us one of those days. Sometimes, you know, we get to experience one of those days. And we're going to talk about that right now. Let's read verses 35 and 36. It says, "On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him." So, it says, on that day, when the evening had come. And so, to understand that, we need to read, you know, all the verses before, of course, right? And we don't have the time to do that. But I'm going to resume it really quick, summarize it really quick. And so verse 4 in Mark is telling us that the Lord had spent the whole day teaching to the multitudes. And the chapter talks about how he started teaching using parables. And so he's been teaching all day. It's a whole day of ministry teaching. So when I was thinking about that, I thought, well, if it was a day of teaching, that means the Lord Jesus was the one doing the teaching, right? And the disciples were just there. They were just there. And as Daniel also was saying this morning, you know, they were doing their best to be out of the way. That's pretty much what they were doing. And sometimes ministry is that, right? So sometimes when we're serving the Lord Christ, it's all about just not being in His way, being out of the way, because He's the one doing everything. And sometimes that's how we feel when we're doing ministry. Like, Lord, I wanna serve You. I wanna do these. And then you realize actually it's Him the one doing everything. He is the one healing. He is the one, you know, building up people. He is the one nurturing hearts. He is the one healing souls. And we're just here with Him, you know, being a witness of what He is doing. And that's how I imagined that day, you know. And at the end of the day, they might have been tired. You know, the Lord was tired. But, you know, He has all the reasons to be tired. He was the one teaching, you know, all day teaching these parables. And when the night comes, when the evening comes, He says, let us cross over to the other side. And so I was thinking about the disciples, what they thought about that expression that the Lord says there. The day is over. You know, what we do after the day is over is we go and rest. That's what we do when the day is over. But suddenly, you know, the Lord says, the evening came, but let's go across the lake to the other side. And sometimes that happens. Also in ministry, sometimes we get used to like ordinary, we get used to routine, and so maybe the disciples, maybe I'm judging them, I don't want to judge them, but maybe the disciples thought, you know, the day is over, you know, the day is over, as usually we're going to go and get some rest, maybe we're going to eat something and rest. But suddenly the Lord surprises them, saying, let's go to the other side of the lake right now. And as we remember, all of these guys, most of these guys, they are fishermen. And, you know, the lake is the place where they work. So they know the lake and they know that it's not the best idea to go across the lake that time at night. So can you imagine how they're feeling? Why are we going to do this? You know, the day is already over. We were doing ministry all these hours, you know, the whole day, and now it's time to rest. But why does He want us to go to the other side of the lake. This is not the best time to do that. And at the same time, we also have to remember that what the other side of the lake means to them. Because as we remember, you know, in that time, that side of the lake, the east side of the lake, was populated by the pagans, you know, all the Gentiles. That side of the lake, it's where the Decapolis, all the others, the Greek cities. And that's where all the pagans are. And that's where all the customs and all the traditions of the pagans, you know, are. So why are we going to the other side of the lake at this time of the night? It doesn't make any sense. That's what the disciples might have thought in their minds. And again, I was reading this, I thought, you know, sometimes the Lord does that to us too, right? Sometimes we get one of those days when we think, okay, we're over with the routine. We already know what to do. You know, the Lord does this and that. We are on a Sunday, and every Sunday we teach the Bible, and then after Sunday, you know, we get lunch and we go home. At least in my family, we think about going home on Sunday night or Sunday evening and just rest, because Sunday is hard sometimes, right? But some, you know, eventually the Lord allows us to find one of those days when He says, well, the day is not over. Actually, we're going to do something else. And we're going to do something that you just don't understand why we're doing it. Something that you might question in your heart. Something that you just don't understand why we're doing it. But remember, it's His ministry. He's the one that has been teaching the whole day. You know, they've been there with Him. For sure, they've been assisting Him. But He is the one that has been carrying the load of the ministry the whole day. He's the one teaching, and He's the one that knows all the hearts. And now He's telling them, guys, we need to go to the other side. I know it's late. I know it's out of the routine. I know this is not what you would like to do right now, but this is what we're doing. And so the Lord was speaking to my heart about that. Sometimes that, you know, that has to happen when we're in ministry. And when the Lord called us to serve Him, we need to be aware that sometimes the Lord is going to say, guys, the day is not over. You know, I know you have already your schedule planned, and you think this is the way the ministry should go. Maybe you already have plans for later, but no, we're going to go to the other side. And it's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to find things, you're going to see things, you're going to hear things that maybe are going to be difficult to experience. But let's go to the other side. It's time to go to the other side. And so the text says in verse 36, it says, on the same day when evening had come, He said to them, 36, I'm sorry. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and other little boats were also with Him. So it says that He said bye to all the multitudes. He dismissed all the multitudes, and He gets on this boat. And it says, there's a very interesting expression that says that they took Him along in the boat as He was. I don't know about you, but when I was reading that, you know, that caught my attention. Why does it say that they took Him as He was? So we have to be honest that there's not just like one perfect interpretation for that. It might mean that they took Him in the same boat He was using to teach from. So if you read, you know, the initial verses in chapter 4, the Lord is using a boat to teach from. So maybe it means, you know, they use the same boat, the boat that He was using to teach. Also, it could mean that they took Him without preparations. Like, I mean, we're going to go across the lake. It's going to take us at least a couple of hours, maybe 2-3 hours to get to the other side. We don't know what we're going to find on the other side. We need to get food or, you know, have everything that we need to go across the lake. Maybe it means they didn't get, you know, time to do that. No preparations. Also, it could mean that they are the ones leading the boat. And I like that interpretation. I don't know if that's the best interpretation, but it could mean, you know, they are the fishermen. He is the rabbi. So they said, okay, we take you there. You know, we're going to take you there. We are the ones that are experts with boats and fishing and all of that. So we're taking you. And they're taking the Lord. They're taking the Lord in their boat. So why I liked that interpretation, because it sounds just like us, right? It sounds like me. I'm sorry, I don't want to get you into this, but it sounds like me. Like, okay, Lord, I'll take over. You know, I'll do, you know, I know how to do this. You want to do that? Okay, you know, I'll plan it. I'll do it. I'm gonna lead the way. Follow me. Because that's what it means, you know. They took him as he was, meaning, you know, they led the way because they are the fishermen. They are the ones that know how to navigate the lake. So that's, you know, funny when we think about what's coming, right? But before we go to the second part of that text, let's just meditate on that. As I was saying, sometimes we are serving the Lord and we have this idea of what it should be. You know, maybe we have our schedule already planned, and we think this is the way ministry should look like. And sometimes there are days when it looks like that, but then these other days come, right? When he says, we're going to do something different today. I know you already checked out for the day, but now, you know, it's not over. There's still many things to do. And usually those things, when they come, they're usually uncomfortable and they're usually difficult. But we need to do that. At the end, we have to remember it's his ministry. He is the one that is leading. He's the one doing actually the ministry. He is the one that is, you know, healing and teaching and healing souls and everything. He's the one actually doing the ministry. So sometimes we need to just be ready for one of those days when he says, let's go across the lake. So let's keep reading. Verses 37 to 40. It says, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Okay, so very well-known passage for many of us, right? So they're going through the lake. It says in verse 37 that a great windstorm arose. We have to also understand that the Lake of Galilee is a very interesting lake, because I think it's one of the only two big bodies of water, lakes, that are under the sea level. And so that makes that place very interesting in terms of, you know, winds. When winds come and the way the water behaves under that circumstance, because it's under sea level. So these windstorms come, and they're very popular, and they're common in that area. And we're not talking about like rainstorms, but windstorms, as it says. Obviously, you're going to get wet because all the water from the lake, you know, is going to start getting you wet. But it's not because it's raining. Not usually. I mean, sometimes it does rain. But what I'm saying is that the common, you know, storms on at that lake are mainly windstorms. Right? So that's what comes. And the word windstorm, it really means, it could be translated as a tornado or a hurricane. It talks like, talk about like a very strong wind. It's not just, you know, some wind that we're feeling. No, it was a very strong wind. Sometimes it's translated as a whirlwind. Is that a word, or am I making it up? Okay, so yeah, for some reason I doubt it. But that's the other translation for that that word. So we can imagine that that was a very frightening situation. But, you know, they are the fishermen, and so apparently they're going to try to fight that storm with everything they know. You know, they've been maybe in situations like that before, and so they're going to try to use as much information as they have from previous experiences, and they're going to do their best, you know, and it's frightening. And the boat is actually filling. That's the word it says in verse 37. So the water starts to fill the boat, and they're starting to be desperate. They don't know what to do. All of their experience, all of their knowledge is not working. They don't know what to do. But they were the ones that said, "Lord, we take you." And but they're not being able to do it because something came. You know, this storm took them out of the blue. The storm came, and they are shocked by it. They are impacted. They don't know what to do. And again, sometimes that happens in our lives too, right? You know, these storms. And I'm going to mention that again. I'm sure you have heard this text many times, and you have been encouraged many times with this. But in my heart, when Pastor Steve told me about, you know, the opportunity of being here, this is the text that the Lord put in my heart and said, you know, maybe we need to be encouraged once again with this text. Sometimes we're going to see those storms in our lives. And they might have thought, Lord, we told you, you know, it's not the best time to sail. It's not the best time to go across the lake. Lord, now we're here. And the Lord knew that the storm was going to come. I'm sure he knew the storm was coming. And he, for some reason, you know, he decided to go across the lake, even though. And so we're going to face these storms. Those days, remember, one of those days in ministry when these storms come up. And after years in ministry, after all the experience we have, we are surprised by these storms, and we just don't know what to do. You know, I've been a pastor, I've been a missionary, I've been a servant at church. I've been doing this and that. I should have known how to deal with this. I should have known, you know, how to fight a storm. And I'm here desperate, you know, and I see that the boat is filling with water, and I don't know what's going on and what's happening. And Lord, what's going to happen to us? And sometimes we feel like that. I personally, that's how I've been feeling this last year. You know, 2 years ago, the Lord allowed me to go through an open heart surgery, and many of you were praying for me that day. And I just want to say thank you again that many of you were praying for that. Actually, you want to know something very interesting? Like, it was 2 years to this day. I mean, it was right now, you know, 2 years. At this time, I was, you know, under anesthesia, going through that surgery, and by the grace of the Lord, and, you know, to praise His name, I'm here sharing with you. So I want to say thank you first. But that was a very scary storm, but this year has been more scary, actually, you know, and sometimes these storms are more than just physical, obviously. Sometimes, and most of the time, you know, they're spiritually in nature. And so we have to remember also that back in that day, they thought that these storms were caused by spirits and demons. I'm not sure if the disciples thought that, you know, being in that boat with the Lord, but it was commonly thought in that time, in that area, that these kind of windstorms, because they were they would come out of the blue and nobody would expect them, that they were caused by spirit and demons. And so, I don't know, again, I don't know if the disciples thought, like, maybe it's a spirit, maybe it's a demon, maybe it's something like that. So what I'm trying to say is that in ministry, in our lives, walking with the Lord, we're going to face this spiritual battle. And it's going to be spiritual in nature. And I was listening to my brother Serge when he was talking about fighting with demons. Was it him? And I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't want to fight demons. But I was listening to that, I'm like, wow. But we have to face the world that we live in, and that's a spiritual enemy. And we have to face our own flesh, obviously, and that's a spiritual enemy. And we have to face also the devil and all of his spiritual minions, right? And those are spiritual in nature, and those are storms that come to our lives also, and even when we are in ministry, and even when we are walking with Him, right? They were with the Lord Jesus in the same boat. And that doesn't mean we're not going to face storms, and that doesn't mean we're not going to face, the attacks of the enemy, and they're going to be strong, and they're going to be frightening, and we're going to be worrying about our own lives. That's going to happen. One of these days, we might see that again, and we're going to start, screaming for our lives and, becoming desperate again, like, what is going to happen, Lord? I don't know what's going to happen. And so when we read verse 38, I don't know about you, but this text, right? Verse 38, it says, "But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Oof, when I read this, the Lord Jesus sleeping, during this storm. Why was he sleeping? I think he was tired. He had been teaching the whole day. I mean, he's tired. And so he wanted to sleep. This word pillow that is there, I don't know about you. Again, I read it, I'm like, what's a pillow doing in a boat in the first century? But the word that is used in the Greek there, it talks about a bag of usually sand, that was kept on the stern to give the boat some stability, and also so the one that is leading the boat could sit on. And so that's where the Lord is just, he's reclining to this bag of sand, and he's so tired, and he's just resting and sleeping. And we have to remember, he knows that the day is not over. We all know what's expecting, on the other side. Right, we all know what's waiting for them on the other side. We know he's gonna find, these demon possessed people. These two guys, one guy. Well, it depends what, what gospel you're reading. But he's gonna face, this spiritual battle on the other side, and he's resting. He was all full human as we are, and he was tired and he wanted to rest. But that brought me another question. Was he that tired that all this water and the wind and the screams, and the shouting, couldn't wake him up? Or he's, decidedly, just looking to rest? I was thinking, was he, did he faint? Or because there's water coming in the boat and he's getting wet for sure. And it's not like a big, big boat, right? And so he can hear all the shouting and the wind. It's, hitting everything on that boat. How is it that he's just sleeping? Is it really that they couldn't wake him up, or he's decidedly, just looking to rest? He just wants to rest. He wants to just, have a good time of resting, maybe. And this is when it hits me, because there's something that the disciples see that led them to ask the question, right? The question is, Lord, do you not care? Teacher, do you not care? And the text, you know, that is used there to say, do you not care, really means, are you not concerned? Or is it really nothing that you that interests you? Or, you know, I was going to say it in Spanish, but it doesn't work in English. It's like, is it really not important for you? That's kind of like the way they're saying it. And for a time, I was reading this, and I said, no, I'm not going to judge the disciples. I'm sure they were not trying to criticize him. They were not trying to, you know, judge him or anything. They're just asking, Lord, what do you think about the story? But no, actually, the word says, you know, do you not care? Is it not important for you, you know, that we're about to die? And that's what they say, you know, that we are perishing. We are dying. Do you not care? And so for a second in their hearts, they started to question him. Right? You do not care that we are going to die. Do you care about our lives? Do you care about what we are going through? Obviously, they're including him, like we are all perishing, obviously. But, you know, what is motivating them to ask the question is like, Lord, we are dying. I am dying. Well, we are dying. And so the reason why it hit me is because, you know, in this season that I was telling you about, that I see these big waves around us, there have been many days when I have asked him similar questions and I have to repent after saying, Lord, why don't you do anything? Don't you care about, you know, we're serving here. I'm following you. You told me to get on the boat and I'm here on the boat. Lord, do you not care about my heart, about what I'm feeling, about what I'm going through, about, you know, this. Don't you see the tears, Lord? Don't you see how I'm suffering here? Don't you? And so sometimes when you're so focused on, when I'm focused on that suffering and, you know, the storm, you start questioning God's character and God's heart. And then we have to just stop and repent and say, oh, Lord, please forgive me. I don't mean to do that. I don't mean to do it, but it is frightening. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. It seems like I'm going to perish. You know, I left everything to follow you. You told me to get on the boat. I'm here on the boat and I'm dying. Lord, what's going on? What's happening? And sometimes I felt that I've been asking the Lord, like, why are you sleeping, Lord? Why are you not doing anything? Why are you sleeping? And then I realized, well, if he's sleeping, that has to mean something, right? Why is he sleeping? I have to rely again on his character. He has showed me through the word in my life how faithful he is, how good he is. And if he is sleeping, I've seen his power. We all have seen his power. We know who he is. You know, he gave himself for us. We know who he is. And so the question is, Lord, why are you sleeping? Actually, let me think about that. Why are you sleeping? Maybe that's a good sign. Right? Maybe that's a good sign. And so I was thinking, remember when you're flying, you know, on the plane, right? And what happens when you start seeing the flight attendants, you know, being scared? If you see them like, you start like, oh, Lord. Okay, here I go, Lord. Right? But if you see that the Lord Jesus, in the middle of the windstorm, is sleeping, what does that mean? You know, everything's under control. It is frightening, yes. You might cry a little, yes. It's going to hurt, yes. But if he's on your boat and he's sleeping, he's going to take care of that. Remember, and I think we all have heard this, But when he told them to get on the boat, he told them, let's go to the other side. He didn't say, let's try to get to the other side. He didn't say, let's do our best to get to the other side. He told them, let's go to the other side. That should have meant to them, like, we are going to the other side. And the Lord knew what his mission was. He knew who he was completely, and he knows that he needs to die for our sins on that cross. He knows he's not going to perish in that lake. He knows that, right? So we all should rest on his word and his mission and his character and everything that he has shown us. We have to rest on that when the waves are so high. We have to remember he is the Lord. He has a plan. He is in control. He knows what he's doing. If he's sleeping, that means we're going to be all right. I'm not going to start questioning him. Then the Lord, you know, arose in verse 39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. So the Lord, you know, he arises and he rebukes the storm and the wind. And this is a word that I don't know if this translates into English. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it anyway because I learned it from my son. My son, he's 16. He taught me this word is aura. Does that translate into Gen Z's here also? Aura, aura? Well, in Spanish, that's what they say, the Gen Z's. In Spanish, they say aura. And so this is what I picture in my head when I think of the word aura. My son explained to me what that means. And so this is aura, right? The storm, you know, and the disciples shouting and desperate. And the Lord, you know, he arises and he stands up and says, wind, be still. And everything's calm now. And he's just standing there. Right? That's aura. It's like, wow! Wow! You know, he's just standing there on the boat saying, you know, to the winds, be still. And all the disciples are looking at him like, oh! And we were questioning him like, what? Are we crazy or what? And sometimes, doesn't that happen to, well, it happens to me. I'm sorry. I keep dragging you into this. It happens to me all the time that I see the Lord working again and I'm all shocked and surprised like, oh, Lord, you did it again. Wow. And, well, I should have known he does that all the time. You know, he shows himself faithful every single time, even though it was frightening, even though it was hurtful, but he showed himself faithful once again, and I'm there like, oh, you did it, Lord. It's incredible. I should have known he can do that. Obviously, you know, if he's sleeping, that's a great sign. And so in the middle of this situation that my family and, you know, and we are going through, we decided like, oh, Lord, it's so difficult. Sometimes I just want to ask you again, Lord, why are you sleeping? I'm afraid. Why don't you do something? Can you do what you do? Please, Lord. And it seems like he's still sleeping. But if he's sleeping, that should be a good sign, right? You know, because he is who he says he is. And that should be a good sign for us. And then, you know, he turns and tells them, why are you so fearful? And it's very interesting, that text, that phrase, the emphasis is on the level of fearfulness. You know, why are you so fearful? Meaning, I understand humans, we get afraid. You know, that's part of our human experience on this earth. We are fearful sometimes and we get scared by things sometimes. We shouldn't be scared that, you know, that often, but you know, it's part of our nature. But the Lord says, why are you so fearful that you are getting to that point of questioning my character, of thinking that I don't care about this, that you think that we're going to perish? You know, why are you, hitting that level of fearfulness. Why are you so fearful? And then the other question that breaks our hearts, right? Is it that you have no faith? And the question is actually, don't you trust me? Again, that hits me. I do trust him. Really? Do you really trust me? Lord, I do. But this wave, Lord. Do you trust me? I do, Lord. I trust you. I don't want to get to that point again of questioning your heart, Lord. Questioning your character and saying you don't care about it. No, Lord, please forgive me. I do trust you. I own it. I was afraid. I was shouting with the rest of the disciples. I did that. But Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I'm gonna trust that you are in control. Prepositions. You are in control. Let's read verse 41. Verse 41 to close. It says, "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Wow. Beautiful, beautiful statement. Who can this be? And so suddenly they realized that it was not the men in the boat that should be fearing the storm. It was actually the storm, the one that should be fearing the men sleeping in the boat, right? And so we have to remember everything, every time this, right? There are certainly fearful, frightening things on this earth. We will face that. We eventually will come to face one of those days. You know, when the Lord tells us, let's get on the boat, let's go to the other side, and we're gonna eventually face one of those days when the storms, they arise and we are afraid again. We're gonna face that. But we have to remember that we don't have to fear the storms, we don't have to fear the situations, we have to fear him. Because that's what they say. It's like, oh, wow, who is this man that can do all these things? And now suddenly they are afraid, and they are rightly afraid. They now are fearful of him, and that's the best thing we can do, because he has proven to be a good God, all powerful. But he is in our boat. Actually, I have to say it, we are in his boat. That's better, right? And this powerful God, this powerful Messiah, the one that we follow, has all the power, to calm the seas, to calm the winds, to create everything out of nothing. This is the God that we follow. And the fear of God, right, is the base for wisdom, right? That's the best thing we can do as human beings, is just, I fear you, Lord. But I also know that you love me. But I also know that you gave everything for me. And I know that you are for me now, because I'm your disciple. I'm following you. And so that changes completely our perspective, right? The one that we should be afraid of is him, and he is for us. And if he is for us, we don't have to be afraid of anything, right? Does that make sense? And so I just wanted to encourage you guys with that. The Lord has been encouraging me with this. And, when Steve told me about, the big blessing of being here with you, that's what I thought about. It's like, I would love to share that with my brothers and sisters. Sometimes in ministry, sometimes following him, sometimes walking with him, he's going to ask us to go to the other side, Right? He's going to ask us to do something that, or face something or experience something that we're not ready for in our minds. Something that is going to be uncomfortable and painful sometimes. And it's going to be it means that we're going to need to face sometimes spiritual warfare. You know, the waves are going to be so high. It's going to be rough. Sometimes that's going to happen. It's part of following Him. But He knows what He's doing, right? He knows what He's doing. He is on this earth still working with His church, and He's leading us to see His greatness every day. So following Him also is trusting that even when we see Him sleeping, that's the best place we can be. Even in the midst of the storm and the winds and the water filling in the boat, you know, if we are there with Him and He's sleeping, that's the best place we can be. If He's sleeping, that means something. I mean, He is in control. God is in control. And to close, following the Lord is also a constant being amazed by His power, His grace, His love in our boat. It's incredible that we get to walk with Him. It's incredible that we get to serve Him and that we get to see, you know, in first person, like so close, all of His power and His grace and who He is and His nature. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful time together these days. Thank you, Lord, for all the missionaries, all the pastors, all the leaders and servants that were sharing today. I am thankful personally for the chance to listen to them, what you are doing in their countries, in their cities, in their communities, and how they are trusting you even when the waves are really high. Thank you, Lord, for the lives, and I pray that you would strengthen their hearts. Thank you for this beautiful time together. It is truly a blessing. Our faith is built up. We are loved by your church. We are fed by your word. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful time. Thank you for this church and all of the churches also represented here. That is your church, actually. Thank you, Lord. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.